Good afternoon. Today, I'm presenting my work, which involving women living with HIV in Banten province where I live, Indonesia. First of all, I would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land, pay respect to elders, past, present, and emerging, and people living with HIV around the world. I also want to state that there is no conflict of interest in regard to my research. UNAIDS estimated that in 2018, there was about 630,000 of people living with HIV in Indonesia with HIV prevalence of 0.6%. The Indonesia Ministry of Health indicated that the number of HIV reported cases in men, women, and children under 5 increased gradually in the last decade, which women representing 36% of the total reported HIV cases in 2017. Almost half of this HIV infection were transmitted through heterosexual contact. This significant increase was noted across many Indonesian provinces, including Banten province, where my study undertaken. For those who do not know about Banten, actually Banten province became an independent province in 2000, so it's one of the newest provinces in Indonesia, and it is located. It is a location of multinational factories, beautiful beaches of as tourism destination, and last habitat of Javan rhino. It also has Port of Merak, which connects Java with Sumatra Islands, and passed by hundreds of trucks and buses every day. In 2017, about 1,300 cases were found among the 13 million Muslim majority population of Banten. Despite the noted increase in number, research paper about women living with HIV in this province was hardly found. And these women's sexual and reproductive health needs remain neglected. The aim of this research is to explore multifaceted factors influencing the sexual and reproductive health of women living with HIV in Banten province, Indonesia. But today, I'm only presenting some of the results, which focus on fertility desire, contraceptive use, and sexual behavior of the study participants. This project used a convergent parallel mixed method approach in which the quantitative study was conducted concurrently with the qualitative inquiry. The quantitative phase involved 209 women living with HIV of reproductive age completing a cross-sectional written survey, which was adapted from the 2012 Indonesian National Women's Survey over a 6 month period in 2017. 5 peer recruiters who were staff of Kotex Mandiri Foundation, a local peer organization, were involved in the data collection. Descriptive and binary logistic regression analysis were conducted on the quantitative data. The qualitative inquiry phase involved in-depth interview with 30 women. Thematic analysis were performed, providing a more in-depth contextualized understanding of factors influencing sexual and reproductive health of women living with HIV. Looking at the survey result, the majority of the 209 respondents were married Muslim with a high school education. 60% reported a lack of desire for pregnancy. 2/3 were using contraception, with condoms being the most common method. However, there was a high rate of inconsistent condom use reported. 1/3 had unmet contraceptive needs and reported symptoms of STI in the last 12 months, which took the majority seeking healthcare services. Logistic regression found that having more than one child, non-disclosed HIV status to family and partner, and living in an urban area significantly associated with no current fertility desire. Meanwhile, the women describe how age, fear of child's well-being, stigmatization from health providers, poor vertical transmission knowledge and counseling, lack of partner support, and family discouragement influence their lack of interest for more children. A woman expressed, "My mother-in-law asked me to use injected contraception in a month after we married. My own mother also suggested me to take the method." In this quote, the woman explained that once they disclosed their status to the family suggested them for having no pregnancy, concerning the well-being of the children in the future. But on the other, if the woman didn't close their HIV diagnosis, the family would give pressure for pregnancy as soon as they were married. As one stated, "My husband and his family expected me to have a baby soon after our 3 years marriage. They said that I should have a child soon before I get old." Another quantitative multivariate analysis found that the woman's unmet contraceptive needs were determined by their status disclosure to the family, marital status, relationship position, and partner's contraceptive decision and desire for childbearing. Women described how their non-married status, poor contraceptive knowledge, and partner's involvement in contraceptive use affected their contraceptive decisions. Insufficient contraceptive services, such as lack of counseling and coercive choice before giving birth, was also mentioned as the barriers of contraceptive use. A woman expressed, "Previously, I wanted to use injected contraception, but my husband forbid me to use any method. He said, in the past, none of the prophet's wife used the contraception. He said, just let the God give us children. He mentioned that our prophet had a lot of children. Please do not use any contraception. So I didn't use any." Another woman stated, "Their answer was similar, that it was inconvenience of using condom for the intercourse." This statement shows how partners' beliefs and preferences distracted the woman's contraceptive need. Among 165 sexually active respondents, more than 60% had a problem in negotiating condom use. And among 68% inconsistent condom users, most of them were not married and not able to procure condom and negotiate the usage. Poor understanding of sexual health, cultural beliefs of not talking and negotiating sexual reproductive health, male-dominant relationship, financial dependent to partner, and familiar other factors were considered as challenges for achieving high sexual reproductive health post-HIV diagnosis. One woman explained, "I'm shy of telling my husband about my sexual excitement. For me, I only serve him. Once I felt the pain of having sexual intimacy with him because I was not aroused, but my husband wanted it. I was just silent and did not say anything to him. My husband never asked about my sexual satisfaction. My parents were from the old generation who never talked to us about sexuality. My religion teaches me that it is an obligation of the wife to serve their husband, and it is a sin to refuse our husband's invitation for sexual intimacy, so I don't dare to refuse him." From this, we gain understanding that unsafe sexual behaviors of women living with HIV in Indonesia were impacted by local culture belief, which prohibited them to talk and refuse unsafe sexual practices. The lack of community awareness concerning condom use and public policy support of contraceptive use post non-married women were also the main barriers for condom use socialization. Like one of them said, that anywhere we go, we always bring our own condom. If we run out of condom, we buy it in like a grocery shop. However, now the condom is expensive, so it's better to take them from home. If there's a raid, We do not worry because we are married. I will show my marriage certificate if it's required. So they have to bring their marriage certificate anywhere they go. As the results of the integration phase of my research, we concluded that women living with HIV in Banten province face a range of intrapersonal, interpersonal, institutional, community, and public policy barriers in meeting their sexual reproductive rights and needs. These multi-layered factors were interrelated in influencing the women's sexual reproductive health decision. Therefore, this research highlights the need to improve women's capacity to meet their sexual reproductive health by developing programs which are sensitive to their socio-cultural and religious context and involve their familiar others. Thank you. Further research is needed into what is the best practice model of sexual reproductive health care for women living in Indonesia. At the end, I would like to acknowledge my study participants and peer recruiters, my research partner, Cortex Mandiri Foundation, University of Queensland, Australia Award, and my two amazing supervisors, Dr. Lisa Fitzgerald and Dr. Judith Dean, for their bunch of support in the completion of this research. Thank you.